No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
The Secret Dies With You. Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name's Jesse.
And welcome back, folks, because boy, do we have one for you today. We're talking about I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer.
This is the movie that will truly make us question our thesis of the month. Does triples make it safe?
No, in fact, I think this one actually answers it because the series died after this. Triples killed this one.
Prime TV
show? Okay, there's a TV show, but is that more of a book thing or is it based off of the movies?
I don't know because we haven't watched it.
I know. I heard it was terrible. We'll maybe watch it somewhere down the line, but
I'm not going to lie. There was a big chance that I was going to open it up with, what's up, nerds?
What's up, nerds? Why?
Well, partially because there's not fun quotes to pick from this movie, and also because we've been on a hell of a McBride kick
over the
weekend.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, was that a quote from the movie? But nope. I definitely sense the McBride in that. In fact, we're going to be watching Danny McBride as soon as we finish this.
I can't not say nerds like him nerds. Anymore. That's what I thought. Nerd.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. Every movie could use a little Danny McBride. I think this movie would have been a whole different thing if we had some Danny McBride.
And I'm glad, since we have the actor playing young Jesse and he can channel Danny McBride, I'm glad that we have one in reserve in case anything ever happens to him.
I agree.
They just need to always be on separate planes, like the president and the vice president.
All right. Well, we talked about Danny McBride back in Halloween. We're talking about I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer. But before we do that, do you have any announcements?
Two.
Okay.
One, I'm like 90% sure I have a sinus infection, and I'm at a weird place in the day where I can't take my daytime Sudafed because I won't fall asleep, and I can't take my nighttime Sudafed because I will definitely fall asleep. So I'm living on albuterol and cough drops right now. So if I sound rough or if you hear the little clicking around in my teeth, that's all it is.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm not hearing it too much myself, but I don't know what picks up on the mic. You know, sometimes we get like random meows. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, it was either that or see if I can handle editing out every single pause to take a drink of water or clear my throat. And I went with the cough drops.
Okay.
And the other is we want to acknowledge, because so much of this podcast is born from our love of movies. And these movies aren't possible without the cast and crew that work on them. That goes to the writers, the directors, the editors, the sound people, the actors, the stunt people. All of those people are, if they're members of WGA or SAG-AFTRA, are currently on strike because they're not being paid fairly. Now, labor laws, kind of a nerdy jam of mine. In fact, I gave Travis a brief overview of the FLSAs while we were cooking dinner.
This is true.
While we were cooking dinner. And I'm not going to go into all of that, mostly because that's not my area of expertise. But the short version is that we should pay people what they're worth. And there are a lot of companies out there that are dicky-doing them. And just skirting around as little as they can.
Mostly streamers.
Yep. If you ever wondered, like, why did they take down this very popular show? Oh, it's because if they don't leave it up for too long, they don't have to pay residuals or rights or anything to the people involved.
Oh, seriously?
In it. Yeah, I read something about that a while ago.
Wow.
There's a lot of other little things like that that they do. But I wanted to go ahead and read this excerpt from Twitter from somebody involved and a little movie that you all know I love. And that would be Truth or Dare. So Nick Simon, Simon367 on Twitter. Might as well post this here as well. The WGA SAG strike. One small example. A lot of people have asked me questions lately about the strike, and I'm going to give you one small example. A film I made in 2017 premiered on Sci-Fi and later on Netflix for 5 years. 1 year after this film came out, another studio made a strikingly similar film, even using the same title. Ironically, both were released by NBC Universal, but it's the Netflix portion of it I'll share with you. In October 2018, Netflix bought the rights to Truth or Dare, and it immediately jumped to trending top 10 during Halloween. It did so well for Netflix, they bought the worldwide rights for 5 years, trending every Halloween season. Meanwhile, on YouTube, someone uploaded the entire movie, and when it was finally pulled down, it was at about 12 million views. Over the last couple of years, someone re-uploaded the movie to YouTube, where it's currently sitting at around 7.7 million views. Watch it here on YouTube if you'd like. Netflix won't share data or numbers, but I'm guessing based on these numbers, maybe 25 million views of Truth or Dare worldwide? None of us. None of the cast, not the writer, not me. Nobody made a dime off of it, besides the very minimal payments we received when we made the film. Our business is a constant struggle, and getting residuals between jobs keeps us alive. When you take that away and devalue the creative process and the creative team that is driving viewers to your platform, then it takes away everything that this industry has built upon. This strike is just as important as the strike in 1960 when we finally got residuals and health insurance in the first place. Solidarity.
So all that to say, support the people that make the stuff you love.
Yeah, people aren't like striking because they're greedy. They're striking because they want to make a living wage.
Yeah, and there's a lot of information and resources out there if you want a better understanding of it.
I mean, if you've been listening to our show, then you know that we are no strangers to the Bug Ted. Mm. And often we love the Bug Ted.
Yeah, the Bug Ted's great.
And those people, like, they really do make their money off, like, residuals, conventions, things like that. It's not like they're getting paid millions for going and doing these movies.
Yeah.
So that's the exception, is the millionaires based off of movies, not the norm, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, support them. And we're not really doing anybody favors by talking about this movie because, I mean, this movie came out in 2006 and people still don't know about it. So
maybe we are doing favors then. There were at least two people on Twitter that were reminded it exists.
I suppose that's true. Well, we'll remind some more people today, I suppose, if you guys didn't know. So, you know what? If you're ready, actually, hold on. I got to get the poll results first. So we talked about Wrong Turn 3 last week, and we just wanted to know, are you a hootin' type or are you the hollerin' type? So on Instagram, 60% of you guys are hootin' and 40% are hollerin'. Meanwhile, over on Twitter, 14% are hootin' and 86% are hollerin'. That sounds about right. I think the hollerin' definitely does trend more towards Twitter than Instagram, but I'm a holler type of dude.
I think it, for me, it depends on the context,
I suppose.
Like, generally, I would say more of a hollerer, but, like, say at shows, I hoot.
You hoot.
I hoot.
Everybody hoots at shows. Yeah. Everybody should hoot at shows.
Yeah, but I think I'm one of those people like, oh, she hootin'.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So both. Both is an answer, too, by the way. So, you know, nothing wrong with that. All right. Now let's finally talk about the movie for this week. Are you ready?
Yes. This was our Patreon voted episode.
That's correct.
And it was actually a tie, which we broke with not one, not two, but three rounds of rock, paper, scissors.
What was the other movie?
Paranormal Activity 3.
That's right. Well,
you guys could have listened to us talk about Mika again, even though he's not in the third one.
We'll still talk about it. I mean, we'll get there eventually. Come on, man. It's Paranormal Activity. Like, I don't know. I like talking about those. And that's a good movie, too, the third one.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about this one today. okay, so I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer. This released August 22nd, 2006, and we watched it on our DVD because this is a straight-to-DVD movie yet again. I'm starting to realize that we're also kind of doing straight-to-DVD month, and like, just kind of coincidentally with all of these threequels that we're doing, because...
Yeah.
It's okay. It's fun. Like, I like tapping into that market because you don't get high-quality stuff, but sometimes you find little gems. Maybe this is a gem. I don't know. Okay, so you can watch this as of July 17th. Streaming nowhere.
Okay.
but you can rent it on Amazon, Apple, YouTube, Vudu, Redbox, all of those. So it is an option, and you can buy the DVD 3D pack like we did, same as Wrong Turn 3.
If you buy the 3D pack, you also get I Know What You Did Last Summer and I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, so two very good movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and this... then definitely another movie.
Okay, come on. We gotta, okay.
I know.
This movie is not Listen, that bad.
You've had all of the negative jabs. Let me get a joke in there.
Okay, I'll let you, I'm switching to positive now.
Okay.
I'm going positive on this movie. I love this movie. This movie's so fucking good. Okay, this is my favorite writer. Michael Weiss. He wrote this.
That name actually sounds kind of familiar.
He does have a movie that you like. I wrote some down here. So, and this one that I don't like. And guess what? It's another three.
What is it?
Hostel Part 3.
Yeah!
Oh, man, that movie sucks.
I love Hostel Part 3.
God damn, it's such a major step down from 1 and 2. So he wrote that. He also wrote Butterfly Effect 2. Not seen that. Nope. Don't know why that movie needs a sequel. That one wrapped up perfectly with Ashton Kutcher.
It went completely in a loop.
Yeah, right. Like, you don't need... You don't. It wasn't necessary.
Right. Well, we don't need a new season of Futurama because the fourth finale that they had was perfect, but my finale they've had is perfect.
So. My mind went exactly there, too. I don't know. Maybe they'll drop the ball with this one. I would be too afraid to start Futurama back up because, like, that ending was so perfect. Like, don't fuck this one up.
Yeah, but they have come back from so many other good endings. The devil's hands are idle playthings.
How many times can lightning strike?
I mean, that's true.
I mean, come on. All right. This movie was directed by Sylvian White, music by Justin Burnett, and special effects makeup by Brad Harden and Vance Hartwell.
Okay.
So the cast, we have Brooke Nevin playing Amber, David Patkan. I don't know how to say his name. I'm sorry. I'm trying my best. It's spelled P-A-E-T-K-A-N. Patkan.
That's maybe. Definitely one of those that you can assume that you're pronouncing it correctly, and then you hear him say it, and you're like, oh, well, I was wrong.
Yeah. Oh, I'm almost sure that I'm wrong with that. But Petkin? He plays Colby.
Petkin.
Petkin.
I'd go with Petkin.
All right. So David Petkin plays Colby. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, he does. You just might be fucking up higher.
Yeah, that's true. Tori DeVito plays Zoe. Ben Easter plays Lance. Seth Packard as Roger. Casey Clyde as Deputy Hafner, who I mistakenly wrote as Hefner the entire time until I saw it written out one time. I was like, ooh. And just scribbled like Hafner. Michael Flynn plays Sheriff Davis. And Don Shanks plays the fisherman. Does that name sound familiar to you?
It does.
He is a stunt coordinator, and he worked on one of our favorite movies that may be controversial with a lot of other people. One of the best Halloween movies in the franchise. He was Michael Myers Halloween in five. Halloween 5.
Ah!
He is responsible for the goddamn ginormous neck.
Yay!
That's right. Don Shanks, baby.
I mean, he's not responsible for the neck.
Like, I saw him in the special making of features, by the way. That whole making of that they have on this, so terrible. It doesn't tell you anything.
What is it?
It's 30 minutes. And every
Does it have the same kind of like shaky camera shots that is throughout all the rest of the movie?
No, it doesn't. Okay. In fact, actually, I was reading like an interview from the director, and he was like super proud of that stuff because he's like, you know, the material is kind of the same, but I like to approach these as like an editing type thing. Like, I'm going to bring like interesting edits to this. And really, it's just like it's kind of like the Saw thing that was going on at the time where things get like really flashy and jumpy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't really. I don't know. You know, I mean, that could just be like a preference thing. Aesthetically, I don't think it works well with this movie. It works well with Saw, at least. But where was I? Oh, yeah. So that the special features thing, the making of, it looks like it was made in about 5 minutes. And whatever loaded video editing software that came with a brand new computer. So they open up and it's like making of I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer, but it's like stupid flames. Flames are not important to this movie at all. I don't know why they chose flames, but it's like fucking hot rod flames.
Listen, he's just making an editing choice. That's how he's approaching it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't think he's responsible for this. I hope not. The guy, we're speaking bad about him. He's still working today. He gets consistent work. He's just like a TV guy.
Yeah, I haven't made a fucking movie, but you know what I have made what? In about 2006?
Making up documentary?
No, PowerPoints with a bunch of animated text, including flames.
It seriously looks like it's made in PowerPoint. I'm like, I kind of want to show you. It has its own IMDb page, everybody. Like, just look it up. It has maybe 10 ratings, and it's like got a 4-star. Like, you know, it's, you know.
Is the rating for the making of higher or lower than the rating for the movie?
Higher. Yeah. And it, I mean, it just doesn't tell you anything. It's just like shots of the set and people talking, and it's just not very informative at all. I got zero information from it. All right. So that brings us to our game, Jesse, our favorite little game.
Budget or Bug Ted.
So what do you guess?
I want to say it's probably up there really close with the new Indiana Jones movie.
So like $350 million?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they were too embarrassed to release the numbers, because I don't have any numbers for this one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't have any sales figures okay. or anything. The only numbers I do have are the IMDb scores.
Okay.
And the IMDb score on this is 3.4.
Oh, my God. I was going to guess 3.3.
Yeah, it is. This might actually be the lowest rated movie that we've talked about on the show. Hmm. I can't think of another one that would be that low.
Oh, I'll have to consult my spreadsheet.
From like actual IMDb?
Oh, no.
I'm talking about like other people.
I don't put the IMDb ratings on there.
Yeah, like I'm sure we've rated things lower than that, but like I don't think we've had one that low before. But I picked three movies.
Okay.
And these are all third entries in franchises.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I know. I like how that worked out.
It's crazy how it lined out. So the first movie is Final Destination 3.
That's a solid one.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of interesting, too, because a lot of times I was watching this, I kind of felt like I was watching what should have been a Final Destination with the way that it looked and the way that it was edited and the way that it had David Petkow, because he's the guy in Final Destination 2 that's, like, lucky and won the lottery.
That's him?
That's him, yeah. So Final Destination 3 came out February 10th, 2006 with a budget of $25 million, worldwide gross of $118 million,
hell yeah.
And an IMDb score of 5.8. I think that that's one of the strongest in the series. I love that movie. It's so good.
That is one of those franchises that I just can't think of a weak entry.
I mean, it's not, but like even then, I think it rises to the top out of them all. I think some people don't like it as much. But we have one of those DVDs where you can choose.
Yeah.
It shapes the way that the movie plays out. Like, some people can survive.
It's really fun, yeah.
In fact, you can, like, choose. You can make a choice at the beginning of the movie that prevents the rest of the movie from ever happening. And you get, like, little snippets of, like, what everybody went on to do with their lives.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
You can make it so Frankie Cheeks lives.
Yeah.
He's just that's like, a choice.
Yeah. Which is weird because, I don't know, it creates a lot of plot holes, but...
But
it is what it is.
The part of me that grew up reading the Goosebumps Readers Beware You Choose Your Own Scare books, I love that.
I know, I love it too. It's really
cool.
I love
that I can now get it in movie form. It's like I regressed because like I was reading when I was younger and now I have to have my Choose Your Own Adventure in movie form.
Look, you actually, this is making me realize something. So this came out in 2006, which is... As we all know on this podcast, was
the Muniz era.
The golden age of the Muniz era, because that's the year that Stay Alive came out. And I was like texting Eric and Joe the other day, and he was asking me something about Stay Alive because he's like, you guys are the resident like Stay Alive fans, so I need to ask you something. I forgot what the question was, but I didn't have an answer for him. I was like, you need to get the DVD. Because the DVD lets you create a character, and you can like unlock something.
You have to unlock it, yeah.
You unlock something if you make the right character combinations. I'm sorry.
And if you guys want to hear us, we did finally get the golden ticket, aka we found an unrated version of Stay Alive. Mm-hmm. We now officially own that. Not to plug our Patreon early, but I'm going to go ahead and plug it.
Yeah,
if you join the budget tier of our Patreon, you can even just do it for a month and download all of our bonus episodes and then fuck off if you want.
That's true.
But yeah, that's one of our bonus episodes that we did, was we talked about the difference. Yeah, we did a cut comparison, but it essentially became like another rehashing of the movie. Yeah,
it was so different.
Yeah, it really, it, when you get the unrated version, it's kind of good.
That's what I was telling Joe. I was like, you need to watch the unrated version, because that, it opens up a whole, well, the only reason I started talking about this, I'm sorry, we've like,
no,
went
on
so
fun.
Many different ways.
We're going to make our own fun this week.
We are, yeah. But like this era, this time right here was when DVD menus were at their best. We've lost all that now.
I know.
And like DVDs in general, because you could just do the Choose Your Own Adventure in Final Destination 3 or create a character with Frankie Muniz, you know?
Like, yeah. Speaking of the Muniz era, Travis has decided that he thinks he wants to watch through Malcolm in the Middle, because he never watched it.
I plan on doing that.
Yeah, so that's an adventure we're going
to
be going
on
just
forward
in our
to
personal
it.
Lives.
All right. So we kind of basically got four movies this week, because we talked extensively about Stay Alive. So the third movie is Saw 3, which came out October 27th.
Wait, was the second movie Stay Alive?
No, the second movie is Saw 3. I'm making it the second movie
now.
Oh,
okay. I see what you're doing. I get it.
Because
okay.
We're basically doing four movies this week. So Saw 3 is the third movie. It came out October 27th, 2006.
Slow-ass motherfucking Jeff!
Right at the thresh... Or
right at the thresh.
Thresh. The threshold. The line of budget and Bug Ted. Its budget was $10 million.
Oh, yeah.
And it had a worldwide gross of $164 million and an IMDb score of 6.2. People like that Saw movie.
I like that Saw movie.
Guess what, guys?
Do we want to say it now?
Let's go ahead and put a little teaser out. Next, so we're wrapping up our Scream coverage this month, and we're going to be diving into Saw next
month.
That's
our next franchise.
Next franchise will be Saw. So we will be talking about this movie in 4 months.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait.
3 months from now.
So no, that'll be your little August, September, October. That'll be
October.
Yeah.
All right.
If
great.
It's Halloween, it must be Saw.
That's right. So that works out perfectly for us. And the fourth movie is one that neither of us have watched. I don't think you've watched this. But it's
my life.
Pumpkinhead Ashes to Ashes.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So this is the third Pumpkinhead entry. I've only seen the first Pumpkinhead. This one has Lance Henriksen returning as Ed Harley, as Pumpkinhead.
Okay.
Like, he gets brought back as Pumpkinhead, but it's, yeah. So that sounds cool. I would watch it.
Is Brian Bramer in that one?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him when we see him later this year.
Yeah. He's coming back. Just give your face.
Yeah. That came out October 28th, 2006. This is a sci-fi movie, by the way.
Yeah.
So, budget of $6 million, worldwide gross of nothing because it went on sci-fi, bitches, and IMDb of 4.3. Okay, so our taglines. We have two of them. Not a single tagline on the poster.
Okay.
But the first one is, what he knows might kill you.
Nah.
That sucks. Well, I hope you're thrilled with the second one, because it's Get Hooked. You like that one? Get Hooked? Okay. I feel like that one works if it's a movie that doesn't take itself as seriously. But this one, I think it does continue the serious tone of the series. It doesn't go into the intentional camp.
I'm sorry. Are you saying that this movie, that this franchise is always super serious?
I mean, it plays everything very straight. Except for Jack Black.
Okay.
But even then, that's... By Jack Black standards, that's a tame Jack Black.
Was his character supposed to be? I know we talked about this when we talked about I Still Know, but was his character meant to be there, or did he just wander onto set and say, can I be part of this?
I think he works as like, he's like the pool boy or something, because like he lives in the pool shed.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he just made his home there and nobody ever wanted to talk to him.
No, I'm saying Jack Black. Jack Black himself.
You know, that's a good question. He could be one of those people that's just like surprisingly a horror fan. I'm like consistently surprised by some of these people, like Danny McBride and Jay Baruchel.
I, for just, one, this is the end, people. I'm very excited for us to finally watch the Mario movie when it comes to streaming next month.
Yeah,
because I've heard that Jack Black wrote Peach's theme song, and I've heard that Peach's theme song slaps.
Well, it's Jack Black. It's going to slap.
Yeah.
He just slaps. Okay, so fun facts. So the third entry in the I Know What You Did Last Summer series was announced back in 2000. Just to remind everybody, the first one came out in 96, the second one in 97. Or it might be 97 and 98. I can't remember.
97, 98, because
Scream was 96. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin Williamson did this. So yeah.
Kevin Williamson became a very little busy boy.
Yeah, well,
after 96.
I guess he was still too good for the I Know What You Did Last Summer movies, huh? Because he didn't come back for this one. But this one came, so it was announced in 2000. And it just kind of sat there, and nothing ever happened. It had a script that was written. Jennifer Love Hewitt was going to return. Freddie Prinze Jr. was going to return. Brandy Norwood was going to return.
Oh, we could have gotten more Brandy.
We could have. But for some reason, the script just sat there and it just went to waste. So by the time that they went and did a new one, they had to just rewrite everything with a whole new cast of characters because they just, I guess, decided to go in a new direction with it. I think they readjusted their expectations because I think then they're like, okay, this is not going to go to theaters. That's my take on it, at least. The director for this, Sylvian White, he was brought in as a last-minute replacement of it because they had somebody that was working on the movie but got fired 2 weeks before filming was to start.
Why'd he get fired?
I don't know, but I do have his name. It is Damon Santostefano.
Damon Santostefano.
I looked him up, and he's... I don't think he's really got anything noteworthy to us, but... You're pulling it up now, so you might find something that speaks to other people, at least, or maybe you, too. I don't know.
Oh, he did one of the Cinderella Story movies.
Okay.
With Lucy Hale. And we all know I love Lucy Hale. Do we know that? Have we talked about that?
Yeah, we talked about her.
He's done a couple Cinderella Story movies. He did Bring It On Again!
Is that the second?
I'm not sure if it's the second or the third. Okay, so like a couple things. Something called Revenge. Ooh, that has a 7.6.
Oh, okay. Within that 2 weeks, he completely recast the characters. He redid the whole shooting schedule. He reworked the shooting locations. He did all of this shit 2 weeks before filming this movie. Which I know a lot of people probably having a light bulb come on in their head or just something snapping like, oh, so that's
why this movie everything. Looks like it was made in 2 weeks. Yes.
I think it was filmed. I don't know the filming like time frame for this, how long or when they filmed it. But yeah, they rushed it to production. I don't know why he went and did all that, though, because like if you already have everybody cast and everything arranged, just fucking flow with it, dude.
Can you imagine the director being fired and then all of a sudden you lose your job too? Not because they canceled the movie, but because the new guy was like, nah.
Because the new guy just like fired everybody.
His dominance, yeah. That's like when we worked at and they hired in a new manager, yeah. And she just brought in all her own people and she pushed sucked, out man. The old people.
She fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Maybe this guy sucks too. I don't know. He seemed okay-ish. Everybody spoke highly of him in the making of thing. At least that's one thing I got.
Yeah, I don't want us to go out here saying directors suck if we don't know them.
Yeah, he seemed okay. He seemed kind of cool. I mean, he's still working today. He does shit. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not shit, but like he does shit.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
Not shit, but shit.
Yeah, exactly. And he wanted to go more, he wanted the gore to feel more real in this movie. So he went fully practical with everything, which I don't know if that was a thing that wasn't done in the previous two movies. But I will say that the gore is pretty decent in this, and the kills are actually pretty solid.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I think it does a pretty good job. It's like, definitely gorier, I would say.
Yeah, it's definitely not the goriest thing we've ever seen, but these movies aren't typically gory anyway.
No, not really. And yeah, that's all I have. There's not a lot of information out there about this movie. I did deep dives. I looked up this really weird interview from a website that looks like it was designed in 1997. So okay. Before the movie even came out, somebody was talking about it. But yeah, that's all I got. So all right, Jesse, let's talk about how we feel about it. Let's get it all out there. So you lead it off. What do you actually like about this?
Um, I do like that the beginning, like the beginning, some implausibilities aside, I think is kind of a solid opening.
Mm-hmm.
I think the performances are mostly good, and I like the effects.
They're solid. The performances are okay.
And some of the set pieces are pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Like a mostly abandoned ski lift.
That is creepy. That was cool.
Small town? Always going to be a scary setting.
Yeah. Colorado? Terrifying.
Terrifying. I've got asthma. I can't be that high above sea level. Yeah.
That's it?
I think those are my positives.
All right. Well, yeah, I agree. I like the kills in this. I think it's pretty cool. I like that they, if they're doing something new, you know, I don't have to have this tie to the original cast, but like, I think it makes more sense with that. But like in this movie, it's become a legend on its own, even though it was already a legend in the first movie.
Yeah.
But like, I like the idea of it just being the fisherman. You don't know who he is. He's just like this random, like mysterious man that will come get you if you have a secret.
Why did they move this so far inland?
I know, right? Like, it's like supposed to be about like a fishing town in whatever state. And then it's like, yeah, let's put them over there with like the mountains.
I would love it if he wasn't actually dressed as a fisherman, because none of them knows what you actually look like while you fish.
Yeah, nobody ever questions, like, yeah, why the fuck is there a fisherman running around here in Colorado? Like, do you need a full-on slicker? So, I like that. By the way, did we mention that this movie goes supernatural? Because this movie goes supernatural. But I kind of like it. I like the idea of it, like if it is about the legend, I like it actually being a legend that will, like, come and, like, kill you. I think that is a creepy concept always. Everybody, you know, just, like, from growing up, you always heard those stories of, like, this thing that happens. But, like, I think that this one is really weird because it's like, if you have a secret, but, like, all of these movies take place, like, around July 4th, so it's almost feeling like, if you have a secret and it's July 4th, this fisherman will come and get you with a hook. Now, saying it all out like that, out loud in front of everybody, made me realize how stupid it sounds. But I kind of like it.
So here's my thing. That's my bad.
That's your bad. What, the supernatural or the...
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't necessarily hate, like, the anti-Santa. Because, you know, it's summer and it's... specifically going after
the
naughty.
Anti-Santa, is that what you're calling the fisherman?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, I just don't, I don't know, these movies have always been not supernatural, and I respect that they were trying to do something to, it's not easy coming into an existing franchise, like, let me say my piece.
Okay.
And, like, I get that they were trying to do something different. I respect that. However, I like these movies being revenge stories. There's something very human about it. That's what I like about these. I like the human response to, like, knowing that you've done something terrible and just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I kind of like the bad guy, like, having a motive of revenge. You know what I mean? And when we got to the reveal and it actually was a ghost... I kept waiting for how they were going to make it not a ghost, and the movie was over, and I was like, oh, it really was just a ghost.
Did you, you forgot all about that this time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, that's not what I come to this franchise for. You know what I mean? I'm not inherently opposed to a ghost legend attacking people. It just felt very, like... out of left field.
So yeah. So I think
also I hate the shots that they do with the, like,
oh yeah, the quick cuts and things like that. Yeah.
They don't add to the mood for me as an audience member.
No, I don't like it because it's kind of disorienting, and whenever I'm watching something, I like to see, like, a clean cut, like, see everything play out. I don't like when things are cut to hell. To try and make it flow in a way, like...
See, here's my thing. I don't mind it when it is meant to be disorienting because the character's feeling disoriented. Say, for example, the Saw movies.
Yeah.
You know, we get those cuts. What happens with this is, like, it's like, town fair. Ferris wheel. Like, why do I need to be disoriented about this? You know what I mean? It's just like, I think it can be well done. I just think it wasn't utilized appropriately in this movie.
That's true. It's like, damn, like, okay, Ferris wheel. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Band practice. Motorcycle barn. Like, okay, what's happening? I don't know. So,
what I was going to say before, though, was, like, how do you tie that original movie to a new set of people without it being another thing like the Scream remake that we got, where it's just a family member? You know what I mean?
I like the idea of it being a legend come to life. Like, you can do this. Like, they start off the whole movie talking about this supposed legend, which I can't wait to talk about that. You know, and then that's the reason that PJ dies. But, like, which we never found out who moved the fucking mattresses.
Yeah, that's true.
We never get resolution on that. Jesus Christ. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, this is supposedly, this legend is the reason that, you know, this death, this tragedy has occurred. So somebody decides that they're going to get revenge using the legend as, like,
okay,
you know, a bit of poetic justice or whatever.
True. That can be done. You're right. That would make sense. Okay. Well, my bad is, I think a lot of the characters in this movie are pretty still. I don't really think anybody stands out. I don't have a favorite character in this movie. Like, they're all just kind of generic. Just, I don't know. Like, I guess if I were to pick one, I would just pick the fisherman, because I think, all things considered, Don Shanks does a good job playing the fisherman in this. Like, it's like an updated Slicker too. It looks a little bit different. I guess it's because it's somebody that, like, well, it's a ghost, but, like, somebody away from the fish that's trying to do the fish thing properly.
See, and here's the thing. If they could have brought Freddie Prinze Jr. back, we've got somebody acting like a ghost in the Fisherman Slicker. He's been Fred Jones now, so he can be like a ghost.
Yeah, get Matthew Lillard too. Sarah Michelle Gellar. She could be the Daphne again, you know?
Yeah, except she, like, as a different character, died in the first I Know What You Did Last Summer.
But there was that picture of her, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Just bring a picture of her as Daphne. Like, Fred just, like, looks down and is like, Daphne. Like,
you mean the picture of her in the parade the night she died that for some reason Julie decides to keep framed next to her bed?
Take that picture and Photoshop the hair red. Just do that. Nobody will be able to tell the difference. Daphne surely was, like, fish queen. You know what I mean? All right. Ugly.
Deputy Hafner.
Yeah, Deputy Hafner. He's, like, hitting on this girl that is in high school, but also, like, just, like, fresh out of high school. It's still just gross. As, like, a fully grown man.
Every note I wrote about him ended with the word ominously. Well, like, he checks on her ominously. He comforts her ominously.
It's true.
He welcomes children to the party ominously.
He welcomes them in ominously. He's like, sure, I'm having a get together. Like, whoa, shit.
I mean, the dude plays it really well.
Yeah, he's,
like,
fine
as an actor, but, like,
well, like, back when
it's so uncomfortable.
When I was writing him as Hefner, I was like, is this, like, intended? Like, and I was like, oh shit, never mind. Well, maybe they still meant that. Like, it's, like, kind of close to it. Yeah, I agree with you. That's my ugly too. All right, absurd.
Where do we start?
I've got my favorite absurd moment, which is so fucking awesome. I love it.
There could be a lot, but I guess the one I'm going to pick for right now is going to be, where the fuck does Zoe live? Does she live in that barn where her band practices? And also, whoa, there's sometimes parties? Because when What's-Her-Face comes to, like,
check on her.
Check, well, not even check on her. Ask for comfort from her friend that she ditched months ago.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, can I stay with you? And she's like, yeah, sure. There's a couch here and a bathroom in the back. And it's like, Zoe, do you live here? Do you live in this barn?
She's going full Jason part two.
Because, like, and to be clear, it's not like a barn that's been converted for living. It's got no floor. It's earth. It is ground.
Jesus was born here.
Yeah. Like, Jesus may have been born in a nicer barn.
In Colorado.
How is there running water in the bath? I have so many questions about this setup. They do have electricity, which is weird because there's also gaps between the boards where you can see straight into the barn.
Yeah. How the fuck does that work? I don't know. Generator? I don't know. It's weird. Okay, you're right. That is absurd. All right.
And how is she paying for all of that? Does she have parents? It doesn't seem like she has parents.
I don't think any of these people have parents.
No, what's her face? The blonde girl. She definitely has parents, but they're out of town.
I know. But are they? She's just telling everybody. Yeah, they're... Amber, your parents have been out of town for 18 years.
They'll be back soon. They just wanted to go get cigarettes.
Yeah. My absurd moment is in the opening when PJ goes up to the top and he battles the fisherman with the skateboard. But the best part about that whole thing is the dude is like, yeah, one. And then he gets on his skateboard and rides away. But not only that, he fucking does a trick off of the side of the building. Like, he's like, it's like the Tony Hawk special sounding bang. Like, he's just like doing a trick as he's falling to his death.
That, but it's more akin to, what's the fucking game that I love watching them do playthroughs of in Game Grumps, where they're like either on the bikes or the jet powered lawn chair?
What is that called? Oh my god, what is that called? I don't know. Holy shit. Keep talking.
I like that when they would go to like the modded levels and like they couldn't get past. That's kind of, it's that energy. Like, were you ever going to make this out on the first try?
Guts and Glory.
Guts and Glory. It feels much more Guts and Glory than Tony Hawk. Because in Tony Hawk, like, he just goes like, gnarly wipeout.
No, yeah, 100%. I think that's like a good combination right there. And if you don't know what that game is, look up the Game Grumps playthrough because it's fucking hilarious.
Mr. Strankin!
I kind of want to watch it now. Yeah, the guy with the rocket chair. Yeah.
Miss Jenkins!
Just coming to borrow some sugar. Okay. He just fucking jumps to his death. He doesn't even check to see if the mattress is there, by the way. Like, he just, like, fully trusts that he's accurate with where he's jumping.
Who moved the mattresses? Who put a tractor there instead?
That's what PJ is wanting to know, and it's too late. All right, so Jesse, what do you rate this out of 10?
3.5.
Oh, wow, so you're almost going with the IMDb score.
Fuck this. We haven't even talked about it, and I'm already so angry.
I love it. These are the types of movies that are just fun to talk about because they're so absurd. So I think I'm going to be generous because I don't really think that this movie is that bad, honestly. I think it's serviceable as a straight-to-DVD slasher. Maybe don't think of it as a I Know What You Did Last Summer movie, but it's so...
If I could separate it from it, I would, but they make a point of tying it into the first two.
It's basically a remake, almost. Just retelling it as, like, a myth, like a legend that comes to life. But I'm going to give it, like, a 4. I'll give it a 4. I think that it at least earns that.
3.75 is our starting
average. Damn, that's low, dude.
It is low.
I don't know if we've done one that low before. All right.
I do want everybody to know that the DVD has one trailer on it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's for a movie called Population 436. Who is it starring?
It's the guy from Wrong Turn. I can't remember his name.
He's got the deep voice. Jeremy something?
That sounds right. He looks like a Jeremy.
It's either Jeremy or he's played a character named Jeremy.
Or both.
Yeah. So that the only one trailer for a movie we've never heard of.
You're getting the full DVD experience with us here, guys, because we know you're not going to buy it. All right. Okay. So we open this thing off with some carnival fun time montages.
Mm-hmm. First, we have an empty chairlift stock footage.
Okay, that's true.
Then we've got fair stock footage.
That's right.
And then, so we cut to four teens on a Ferris wheel. Mm-hmm. And they're telling the legend of the fisherman. And the fisherman is this guy who kills teens with secrets every July 4th. Now, spoiler for the next 5 minutes. They're going to do a prank where they pretend the fisherman's after them. but they're all in on it. So who are they telling this legend for?
You know what? Holy shit, you're right.
They're not even doing it in like a public place where people can overhear it. They're on like literally a Ferris wheel.
Isn't it Amber that's telling it? Like
Amber like, and Colby.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we fucking know, guys. Like, stop telling us this story. We've all heard it like 50 goddamn times now. We're doing the fucking prank.
Like, I get that it's for the audience's benefit, so that way we're gooped when we learn that they're all, like, in on it. Uh-huh. But that quickly falls apart once you think about it for a second.
I never thought about it, and you're so right. It's just, what if they're just, like, telling it to, like, people on, like, the, like above them or below them, like, so by the way, the fishermen will come and get you if you have a secret on July 4th, so look out.
Watch out for that fisherman.
Oh my god, I think I see him over there.
And everybody's like, this is Colorado. Nobody's fishing. Yeah, we hike here. Get high.
So they're wandering around the carnival and they come across Lance, who is working at the carnival, I think. Is he?
It's hard to tell.
I don't know. I think
he is.
I think he is too. And he challenges.
But this was the era where hipsters were wearing clothing that could be very easily confused for like carnival worker clothing.
Yeah.
Like he's got like a mechanic type shirt on.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's got the look for sure.
He's PJ's cousin and the sheriff's nephew. PJ is the sheriff's son.
Yeah, and PJ is more of the group's friend group. I don't think these guys are actually friends with Lance.
Yeah, like he's just like their friend's cousin.
Yeah.
But Lance is definitely into Amber, and there's kind of like a pissing contest between him and Colby.
Yeah.
Colby is also a year older than her. He's getting ready to go to his freshman year in college in LA, and she's got one more year before she can join him. She then takes out her camera because she's the group photographer, because they kind of want to make her a manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah.
Like a what's her face in Stay Alive.
Yeah.
Who goes and takes pictures of people sad at funerals.
I was also thinking of Final Destination 3, where they're taking pictures at a carnival.
Yeah, she's not a photographer, though. She just works for the yearbook. And they make that distinction very clear, and I like it.
Okay, yeah. See, they knew how to do it.
But, like, and you didn't know that. Notice this. But the way she holds her camera, I should have grabbed my camera to just give you a proper demonstration. So imagine this is the front of the camera.
Yeah.
Okay. I know this is not working for anybody listening, but so she takes it, turns it on end, and then she does like a claw at the top in a way that is offering no support to the camera. And in fact, looks like she's never seen one before the moment she was told that her character's main trait is that she's a photographer.
She's like mini panic attack inside from the actor. She's like, oh my God.
She's like, how do I hold this?
Camera. Didn't think it would ever happen.
So yeah,
no, I noticed that she does that later on in the movie too.
Yeah, no, it started right here.
No, yeah,
it's horrifying.
You made it. You brought it to my attention, so I paid attention. And she continues.
Okay, so they're all sitting there. Ha ha ha! We're teens. We're friends. It's great. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, we see the silhouette of a hook and a fisherman's hat and a probably very expensive banner gets torn as somebody runs through and chases PJ, and they're all screaming, and the sheriff is like, oh shit, somebody's gonna die at the town fair. And so they all go running, and they run up the world's least assuming parking structure. Why is this parking structure here in the middle of a field? There are no buildings nearby.
I don't know.
Is the parking structure here?
All good questions.
You can't have a parking structure and a tractor in the same area.
This is all good points, man. I don't know. Maybe this is weird Colorado shit. I don't know. You guys might be weird over there. Well, okay. So they get to the top of a building somehow. PJ wound up on top of a building. I don't know how he got there.
With his skateboard, Travis.
He jumped all the way up there with the skateboard.
Yes.
I guess. But the fisherman is also up there. So he fights off his hook.
Do you think that Roger, like, held on to PJ and they like rode up there together so that way they wouldn't lose track of each other?
I hope so. I hope that they actually rode over there together. That would be hilarious. But he fights him off with a skateboard, fights away his hook, and then he does a sweet trick off the side of the building because that's his escape plan. But he doesn't land on the mattresses like he was expecting.
And the friends just assume that it went well.
Yeah, they just like run over to the cars and get cleaned up. And
he just flies off the top of the parking structure and they're like, great, there's no way that could have ever gone wrong.
I still don't understand why he didn't like, you know, maybe look down to make sure that there wasn't a fucking tractor there instead of a mattress. This whole the opening to this movie is just so fucking weird.
Like, who moves the mattresses? I need to know who moved them. Why did they replace them with a tractor?
You think Michael Weiss has a Twitter account? Maybe we can ask him. He might answer. I don't know.
I have so many questions.
All right, so yeah, he's dead, and the teens are just shitting their pants because they're like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen. There's supposed to be a match.
No, they aren't sad enough about their friend being dead.
No, they're not. They're more worried about getting caught.
Yeah. Yeah, they are all sociopaths.
Yeah.
Throwing it out there now. And of course, Amber, because she's her final girl, she wants to tell, but everybody else is like, don't you tell, we'll cut you.
It's so crazy. It's almost like shot for shot what the original was. You got the blonde, overly aggressive dude, and then you've got the good girl, like Amber, instead of Jennifer LaFue's character. It's weird.
Okay, July 1st, 1 year later. By the way, we're going to be getting a countdown. To July 4th mm-hmm. with this.
Yep, so that was June. Damn.
No, this is July 1st, 1 year later.
Oh, okay, never mind. You're right.
Okay, so Amber is at PJ's grave in the middle of a field around no other graves. He's not in a cemetery, he's in a field.
They buried him right there where the parking garage was.
They tore down the parking garage.
They're like, you know
the
what?
The sheriff said never
this is
again.
Silly. You're right, we don't need this out here.
The entire town population could fit their vehicles inside of that parking garage. Why do we have this?
It's become a memorial.
She takes some really bad photography, and then she goes to a barn party. Lance flirts with her at the party, and then her friends come over, and they're like, come look at this hot guy. And she's like, don't worry, I'll be with Colby in L.A. soon. You won't have to hold my hand anymore. And they're like, bitch, Colby's right over there.
Oh, by the way, this girl that she's talking to, so look at the poster if you did actually watch this movie, because she is on, we think that this
no,
is
No, I
her.
Have a picture. I have a picture. Okay, try can, to remind okay. me to post it.
okay.
We have a picture of the poster, like the menu screen. And you know who's not on there?
Colby.
You know who is on there? Unnamed friend number two.
Yeah. I don't think she gets a name.
Yeah, it's not even the one that like holds the hands. It's the hand holder's friend.
Yeah, the friend like, of a friend.
Yeah, like she's on the poster.
Somehow they like decided she was more important to the story
they
than
all
Colby.
Like, yeah, even we don't like Colby. Yeah.
So, yeah, she sees that Colby's actually at the party, too, and she goes over there to confront him.
Yeah, apparently he was supposed to have an internship all summer, and then she was going to join him in L.A. in the fall, and then he was like, well, it fell through, and I'm going to be working at the pool again. Besides, things really haven't been the same between us since last year. Bye!
Yeah. God, he fucking sucks.
Like, but you kind of have to wonder, like, if this is how he's reacting to her now. Like, did he actually maybe break up with her at some point in the school year and she just didn't take the hint?
It's possible. I'm not going to say no.
I mean, and I'm not blaming her for it. She's a high schooler. She's dumb, young, in love.
Well, we've seen how stupid these people are in yeah. this already. So, yeah, I can see that went slipping by her.
But you know what happens when you break up? You go drive, sadly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you park by a fence and sit on the hood of your Jeep that's definitely going to be like way too hot to sit on after you've been driving around for hours.
Yeah.
And then the town deputy comes up and comforts you ominously.
Ominously, yes. We get Mr. Hefner Hafner. He's like, so he's so much older than her, and she is still in high school at this point, and he is like hitting on her.
Yeah, and it's like, and it here's the scary thing about him is that like he's hitting on her in a way that like if you were to repeat word for word what he said, like as a normal human, you'd be like, no, that's just comforting a person, or that's just being a police officer asking why she's out here alone. but it's like his delivery. And this is what predators do. They say things that on paper are socially acceptable, but in a way that make their victims incredibly uncomfortable. And I can't tell you how many times in my life I've been in a position where I've been like, oh, that person made me super uncomfortable. Mm. Why? What'd he say? Well, he said this. Well, that's not that inappropriate. I'm like, no, it's the implication.
Yes. Understand entirely what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And he does come across as a creep in this movie too. He is saying these things.
Okay, so then she goes home. She looks at her photo board, sadly. And reads the note from her parents, sadly.
Yeah, the note, though, is, like, framed in a way. It's folded like all the others have been in all the other movies. So you think it's going to be that. I know what you did.
Parents are also ominous.
Yeah, they are. Holy shit. They just leave her a note, but it's, like, really nice. And then it just says, no party, smiley face.
What if she hadn't seen that note there? I could never leave you a note somewhere and expect you to see it.
I don't know.
I'm
bad about it, but... Maybe she's good at notes. I don't know. She could be a good note person.
Yeah. Anyway, they're out of town, so she goes to bed. And then she's woken up by a ruckus in the kitchen at what looks like the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Because it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why I don't think I like her family. Because they've got a radio clock downstairs in the kitchen, and it's going off. And it says that it's like 2:30 p.m.
Does it really?
Yes.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. Set your clocks correctly, people. How do you function if you don't know what time it is in your kitchen?
I see in my note, I just have radio jump scare, and then I was thinking to myself, God, that's an awesome name.
All we are is radio jump scare.
So the phone rings, and she goes to check it, and she sees that she has 50 messages on her phone. So she looks at them, and all 50 messages say, I know what you did last summer.
You know what's really scary about this?
What?
Is that it's 2006, and it probably cost you like 50 cents per each of those text messages.
Yeah.
She had to pay $25 to be harassed by a ghost.
Damn, that's sadistic. So Amber goes...
Wait, question.
Yeah.
How did the ghost send this text message? Is it like... the ghost in Unfriended that like it's in the computer just making the message appear.
Where did we land on that? Didn't we talk about like if it like what kind of ghost that was in that episode?
Yeah, I think we decided that it was in the computer.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it, like because I can't picture that dude if he hadn't died would have been very annoyed by cell phones. So I can't picture him in the afterlife deciding to learn how to use a cell phone. I feel like it's got to be like a Danny Phantom, like he goes into it.
Think about the ring, though. You know what I mean? Like she was back in a time before TVs and telephones existed.
Yeah,
and
but she
learned
was
how to use that technology. Just
yeah,
fine.
But she wasn't like a grumpy old man.
She was a grumpy little girl.
If the ring were made nowadays, Samara would be a TikToker. Let's be real.
No. You know what, you're right. Okay, so she goes over to visit Zoe.
Again, she is not visiting her. She is begging her for help.
Okay, whatever. So she's begging her for help because she's freaking out and her like mom and dad are gone.
Yeah. And Zoe's like, hey, remember how we used to be friends and we aren't anymore? But she still lets her say because she's the bigger person.
Yes.
July 2nd, Zoe and Amber decide that they're going to go visit Roger at the ski lift repair place, which is just also where the ski lifts are.
Yeah, Roger, by the way, is the guy that was the fisherman mm-hmm. during the prank.
He is very unamused with seeing them. He's also angry. And then he sees the text messages, but he's like, well, I haven't spoken to Colby. I do want to go to the cops, though, because my life's kind of messed up anyway. And they're like, well, let us talk to Colby first and see what we can come up with. So... Amber tries to ease the tension with Zoe by, like, joking about her flyers and, like, hey, remember how you said you sent me a bunch of flyers before and I ignored them? Do you want to maybe send me one more? Maybe one more? And Zoe's like, those cost money to print. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm unemployed.
Yeah. Yeah, I live in a barn.
That may or may not have actual energy. Yeah. We don't know. Yeah. So yeah, they have a sheriff jump scare because these people in Colorado have nothing better to do than check on teenagers in their cars.
He is like the least justified red herring in this movie, because like there's nothing, like it's all framed in a way that it's looking ominous and suspicious, but really like everything they is doing is like he's got clear motives.
Yeah,
he's just checking on them. They're like pulled over on the side of the road, like, oh shit, car problems.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, he's a mad sad dad, but it's justified.
Yeah,
it is. I don't think we've ever been upset at the mad sad dads in this.
No, they're always justified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Zoe confronts Colby as he is lifeguarding. They fight a little bit, and when he goes back to his tall chair, somebody has written in the water next to his chair, "I know."
And yeah.
It, like, fades from the pavement, which I think is kind of cool.
It was really cool. I like that.
Okay, so Amber is mountain biking miles away from civilization. You know, the day after she begged to stay at her friend's barn house.
Spooked.
Because she was scared of being alone.
Yeah.
So she's out there all alone. Her tire gets shredded. She's not concerned about how it got shredded, and instead she walks to the ski resort looking for somebody to help her, and this man appears and he's like, "I'll give you a lift since the storm's coming." And you may think that he's going to give her a ride back to town in his truck. I'm assuming he has a pickup truck because it's Colorado.
Yeah.
But no, like he actually puts her in a ski lift.
Yep, like an actual lift. He meant it literally.
I'm calling bullshit on these ski lifts. Why? Like these are full-on gondolas. They're enclosed. This is like bougie ski resort ski lifts. It's not, and it's not that kind of town. This is like your family can afford to go on a ski vacation, but they can't afford like Aspen, you know?
So you're
like,
saying that this ski lift is too good for this town?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize you could be too good for a ski lift.
And also all the other ski lifts are uncovered. Like the ones that we've seen them working on. Like, why do we suddenly have this covered gondola? Oh, it's because we need to have the fisherman smash the window and spook Amber.
I do like this.
Well, all I could think of was like, cool, now that nice guy that gave her a lift down is going to have to repair that window.
Yeah, he's fucked. Like, he's going to get blamed for it.
And he's going to be like pissed because he's like, "I gave her a ride. I was just trying to do the nice thing."
Blame it on the storm.
He might get fired.
He might. Blame it on the storm. So, yeah, she gets spooked because, yeah, he attacks the ski lift thing. Okay, so
Colby, Zoe, and Amber meet to talk about all this.
Wait.
Colby doesn't believe what's going on, and then they bring up the fact that Roger's not answering his call.
Yeah.
And this is where we get the Roger sad montage.
Yeah, it says Roger's whacked. And then he's just like, it cuts to him, and he's just like drinking and popping pills.
Snorting pills.
Snorting pills. Yeah, and you get a glimpse of his suicide note, too.
Yeah, it's actually a really rough scene. Yeah. This is one of those where the disorienting cut shots works. Yeah.
By the way, we completely skipped earlier when they met in the woods and they burned the slicker and they threw the hook in the lake.
I'm going to be honest. I did not put that in my notes at all.
Okay, well, it happened. That was back after it originally happened on that night. And they just threw the hook in the lake. And they're like, okay, we won't speak of this again. Well, right here it's revealed that Roger went and got that hook.
Yeah.
He has it now.
Yeah. And he is going to use it to harm himself.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he gets killed by the fisherman.
Yeah, he battles him with a buzzsaw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fucking awesome that they have a buzzsaw fight. It's great. But yeah, he loses. Gets his throat slit. It's a good kill.
Zoe, Amber, and Colby find the body when they go to talk to him. And then the cops arrive and Deputy Hafner ominously fills them in on it's like,
thank God, yeah.
He'd been failing classes, fighting with people, he was on antidepressants. Anyway.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, anyway, Amber.
Did you need to tell him all of that? Was that like their knowledge to have?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that was really cool. He like told him that in confidence.
Yeah. Like, well, he wanted Amber to think he was cool.
Yeah. I guess so, yeah. He's like, "I got all the gossip. By the way, Amber, if you got anything you want to tell me, give me a call or I'll call you." It's really awkward.
Yeah, I wrote ominously comforts Amber again.
Yeah.
Okay, so they assume that Roger was behind it all, but then they find, like, a trail of shredded photos in yeah, Amber's in the, house.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, of course, another note of, like, I still know or whatever.
It's, like, all cut out and spelling soon from yeah. the pictures.
So, July 3rd, yeah. the trio checks up on Lance, accuse him of being behind it, and he's like, well, you guys really need to be worrying about my uncle because he's been going around asking about some secret, and they're all like, See, and here's the thing, too, like, I don't... If it's a ghost, why is the sheriff asking about a secret?
I don't know. Maybe he's just like gossip, you know? What's the details?
Like he's
What's
just the secret? He's just trying to treat Lance like a son now.
Yeah.
Instead of I guess, a nephew.
Yeah, yeah so which hater not there about me.
So yeah, then Colby's like, oh, okay, well clearly the sheriff's behind it all. And he leaves. They sit in the diner, talk about this loudly. You know what this conversation would have been good for? Loudly reciting an urban legend that everybody in your group yeah. was in on. But instead, they're having a super secret conversation within 2 feet of other tables.
Including the sheriff.
Including the sheriff. And then... fucking Colby decides he's going to leave a note on the sheriff's car. I didn't even write down what it said, but it's some bullshit of like...
Okay, I got half of it, but then I started freestyling. So I...
There was no pausing this movie. There was none. We powered through it.
We know what you're doing this summer. So back off it so nobody else knows. I'm not at all confident in if that's how it actually goes.
No, it is something like we know what you're doing this summer. That part's correct.
I threw it in my own flair there.
You improv'd.
Yeah. So now we get to see Zoe. She's having dreams of the fisherman.
Yeah.
And she wakes up and sees that all of her instruments have been fucked up.
No. First, she has a dream that she's woken up by speaker feedback. And when she wakes up, the fisherman's there, but it's PJ's face. But she wakes up and it was just a dream, except the fisherman's standing right over her. But then she wakes up again. And all of her shit's fucked.
Yeah. Maybe she did all of that and like all of that dreaming.
Yeah, so Lance confronts Amber. He's like, I know what you did last summer. And she's like, oh, shit, it is you. And he goes, no, like Roger told, or PJ told me what you guys were planning beforehand. And now somebody has fucked up my sweet new Yamaha that I paid $6,000 for.
Fucked up her mountain bike, dude.
Yeah.
So we get to see Colby. Apparently, he's just like a swimmer, I guess. So he's.
That is such a trope in horror movies. It like, really do you want to create tension? Let's have somebody swimming laps. For no apparent reason. Yeah. Although he's a lifeguard, so I guess it makes some sense.
Oh, yeah, that's true, actually. So he's out there swimming, and then all of a sudden, the fisherman just comes out of nowhere with a hook and gets his Achilles.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking gnarly.
Yeah, it's not cool, and he bleeds a lot in the pool, so at least he knows he won't have to worry about work tomorrow, because they are going to have to clean that shit.
I'm telling you, like, give the movie props, right? The effects are pretty good.
No, I do think the effects are really good.
Yeah.
So they all converge in Zoe's garage house barn, and they decide that they're going to approach Hafner, and they go to Hafner's house, and oh, he's having a party.
Ominously. It is ominous. Yeah. Cause like, he's like,
it's a party full of cops. No shit is ominous.
Yeah. Well, they're like, well, you said if we ever wanted to talk, we could come over here and talk. And here we are. And he's like, yeah, having a get together, but come on back.
And then the sheriff pops up. And Hafner's like...
In full uniform, by the way. Yeah. Everybody is dressed casually, but he's still got his badge and his cop uniform on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's like, these kids here were coming to talk to me. And then we have a weird jump to the next scene.
Yeah, it just stops. Like, they don't have a conversation.
It's such an intense jump that it feels like we're meant to think something bad happened.
I think our DVD did something. Like, sometimes it does that whenever you're going to the next scene. I think it just, like, had to compromise like, what just happened there.
It's like, whoa.
Hold on a second. Okay, let's go. Let's keep going.
Yeah, they come up with like a bullshit thing to the sheriff. And they're like, oh, we're worried that there will be an attack on the anniversary of PJ's death. Bye.
That's a good cover.
Yeah, a little bit tactless because that's also the anniversary of his son's death. And he's probably not handling it well.
That's true, yeah. All right, now it's July 4th. Colby has the hook, and Zoe has a big show that she's going to perform at. So yeah, there's like a...
The whole thing was that they were all going to leave town together. Yeah. They're like, if we stick together, we'll be fine. And then they go to pick up Zoe, and she's like, well, there's going to be agents at the talent show tonight, and they've got like connections in LA. So it's like, oh, okay. And she's like, I'll definitely be safe on stage.
Not
true. I believe Helen would like to speak about that.
You know, I was really hoping we'd get a moment like that in this movie. I thought it was building up to that, but it just doesn't do it.
Well, especially, like, say they took her, like, even harder rock, made her metal, and then, like, they think, like, the blood is just part of the show's effects.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Be like, holy shit, yeah. Fuck yeah, metal.
Yeah. So they all decide that they'll leave right after her show, and they'll all be there with her together. You know, for the entire town being here at this talent show, there sure are a lot of quiet places for people to be alone.
Well, like, I love, like, it shows you this dude playing a song whenever it first cuts to that
about
place.
How hungover he's gonna be tomorrow.
Yeah, but the way that they have the lighting done, it's so well done to like make it look like there's a lot of people there, but really I only saw four people there. Like, this is not a big attendance, I don't think.
So Colby is very, very drunk, and he just continues drinking. At one point he goes behind the bar. I guess he's got a friend who works there and told him where he could find like a bottle that he could just drink from. So yeah, that's what he does. While Zoe and the Hooks perform.
What a name. Holy shit. That's so fucking on.
You realize that they probably didn't come up with a name for the band until that scene, and they're like, oh shit, we have to introduce the band. The Hooks.
Yeah, the Hooks.
So,
Amber is showing Lance the inspiration for the prank,
mm-hmm.
and she's like talking about the first two movies. So she's like got news clippings of Jennifer Love Hewitt's character.
Zoe put this like whole scrapbook together, and I don't mean that like it's a bunch of like it's a literal scrapbook with like stickers and shit. Like, it's an actual fucking scrapbook of people's real tragic deaths.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Again, it reminds me of a Final Destination.
In Final Destination, they wouldn't have like made it into like a cute little scrapbook. They would be like, it would be more like the Pepe Sylvia bulletin board.
I think it would be cool though if it was somebody that was obsessed with death. You know, they just like scrapbook it.
Okay, so after the show, Zoe's backstage. It went really well.
Yeah.
She got an agent's card. It's super exciting. And you think that they're going to be okay because Zoe and Lance and Amber are all together. Fuck Colby. We don't care about him.
Yeah.
So they're like, all right, time to get out of here. We're definitely going to make it out alive. And then as they go to the door, oh, man, the fisherman appears. So they go running in the world's largest fucking locker room.
Yeah, it's a...
NFL teams don't get locker rooms this large.
No.
But they're, like, running around. They get split up. Because, again, Scooby-Doo elements going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Zoe dies. Because she just had her moment. She achieved her dream.
Yep. She peaked.
She peaked. She peaked right after high school. Yeah, so she's gutted and thrown over a staircase. So that's what happens to her. Lance and Amber find her. Amber hugs her and cries, so that way her nice white top becomes very bloody and suspicious. And they hide as the sheriff appears, because he finds the body and he calls it in, so that way we know that he's legit.
Mm-hmm.
And he hears Lance and Amber, and he like goes to approach them, and they're like, no, you don't understand, there's a killer. And then as soon as they say that, he's killed also.
Yes.
Okay, so they try to call Colby to warn him about what's going on, and he runs to the kitchen. I'm using the term run very generously.
Yeah, he's like limping.
Yeah.
Yeah, not doing super well.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good, considering. Good.
Yeah, all things considered.
Yeah, being very drunk and like not at full utility of one of your feet.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. So he runs to the kitchen, and he grabs a knife, and he stabs the fisherman, and it does nothing.
No.
And he's killed. So now we can stop talking about Colby.
Well, I like his death, though. He hides behind one of the shelves, and then he peeks out the window of one of the doors, and the guy just hooks through the door and hooks mm-hmm. his face.
Mm-hmm.
It's really well done. I like it.
So Lance and Amber run outside. Deputy Hafner finds them, and he's like, well, Roger told me what happened last week. I was protecting the secret for you, Amber, and I was doing it ominously.
Yeah, he sounds like the fucking killer here.
Well, I mean, we think he is because he's like, get in the car, I'll take you somewhere safe. And Zoe's body is in there. And he goes, I legitimately don't know how that got in there. And as he's saying that, the fisherman appears and Hafner shoots him a couple times with a shotgun.
Yeah, he's tanking shotgun blasts. It's insane.
It's not doing anything.
He dick stabs Hafner.
And he gets shoved into a forklift.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mom.
Brutal.
Oh, that ties back into Saw 3 because we start off with slow-ass motherfucking Jeff
on the forklift. Yeah, you're right.
So Lance and Amber steal the deputy's truck because who's going to arrest him now? yeah. And she realizes that when she hits the fisherman with the hook, that he's a zombie because she knocks off his hat and he bleeds black.
And he only takes damage from the hook.
From the hook.
That's the only thing that can hurt him.
So she's like, that must be the guy from 10 years ago. It's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
I really kept waiting for it to be like, I'm not even joking when I'm comparing it to Scooby-Doo. I was like, how are they going to explain this one?
Yeah. Well,
it's like the first time that we go to Monster Island and it's actually monsters and not bad guys in masks. And it was like, well, this isn't what Scooby-Doo is supposed to be like.
I like his look, though.
Yeah.
I think he looks pretty good. So we get like the face reveal of him. And yeah, you find out he's just a fucking ghost.
Yeah. So they set a trap in the shop. And they end up fighting him, and, like, the fisherman starts revealing that he can disappear and reappear and disappear and reappear. So he's got, like, some unfair tricks.
Yeah.
So Lance and Amber run off, and Lance gets attacked while Amber is trying to get some piece of farm machinery to work. I don't know what it is. It's a shredder?
Bulldozer thing. I don't know.
I wrote backhoe, but then they end up pushing the fisherman into it, and it, like, shreds him up. So I think maybe it's, like, a chipper? A wood chipper?
Of sorts. It chips things. It chips him.
Yeah, yeah. So much for the hook being the only thing that can damage him.
Yeah, it's made from the same material.
That lasted 5 minutes.
Yeah, holy shit, you're right. You're so right. Well, it doesn't kill him. He's not dead.
He's just a lot more pissed off now.
It just sets him back. It's a setback.
Yeah. So we cut to them in an ambulance and they're being questioned. And she was like, it's just some guy, but he won't be any trouble now.
Yep.
And the cops are like, sounds legit. All right. Bye.
Yeah. What the fuck happened to Hafner?
We totally didn't kill him. We did. Yeah. I know that you can't find any traces of a body of the guy who actually sheriff, killed him, yep. But you just have to show. Yeah, like.
Yeah. Oh, the hook that has our fingerprints. Yep. Nope, 9 hours.
No, we use that for protection. That's self-defense.
Yeah, come on, man. It was the only thing that could hurt him. Do you understand?
He bled black.
Except we realized.
He killed a bunch of teenagers 10 years ago, and then they killed him, except they didn't really kill him. He came back, and then they actually killed him.
Have you heard the myth?
Were you on the Ferris wheel? Yeah. So you already know. Okay.
Let's start from the beginning. Okay.
So a year later.
Yes, another year.
Amber is in Nevada with the best cell reception in the world. This is like the opposite of every horror movie trope.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
in the desert.
In the desert.
Yeah. She's on her way to L.A.
Yeah, because now Lance is living there. Because Lance is replacement Colby, and neither of them is ever going to address this in therapy.
It's so weird, yeah.
And she's like, oh, man, what happens to me that I go out in these deserted areas and my tires are just shredded? What a life. And then Lance is like, do you have a spare? And she goes, yeah, I drive a fucking Jeep. These things are made of tires.
It's true. And she gets out to go replace it, but she, like, walks around. One thing that this movie was missing was a what are you waiting for moment.
I know.
And I thought that this is where we were going to get it because the camera's, like, building up to it. It's just panning around her, but then, like, it gets to...
It would have been funny for her to, like, she's, like, looking at the tire and trying to pump herself up to change it. And she's like, come on, what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? And just, like, yeah, that would be awesome if they did that.
But now the fisherman's there.
Just behind her, and he gets her. So he survived it. He did okay. And that's the movie, folks.
This movie makes less sense when you talk about it.
You're right, man. There's just, like, so many fucking weird things about it. There's so many plot holes.
Who moved the mattresses? Did the fisherman do that? Like...
well, no, it wasn't a secret yet.
So what
happened? What if PJ had a secret? PJ had a secret. There could be a prequel to this then. Oh, shit.
I just want to know what happened.
I don't know. We'll never know. That's part of the mystery. Do you change your score? I'm going to 4.5, baby. 4.5. I think that, yeah, it's stupid. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's generic as hell. But goddamn, it's got some good kills, and it's a hell of a lot of fun to talk about.
I'm not changing it. It's still 3.5. Look, this was fun to talk about. It's a beaten to watch, for me personally.
Oh, yeah.
It's, I can see the people that this would appeal to. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see where people would get enjoyment out of it, and I'm not knocking the people that like it, and I'm not knocking the people that were involved in it, even though it's probably sounded like I have been for the past hour and a half.
No.
It just, it doesn't do it for me, because I think if they had leaned into it being campy a little bit more.
I wish they did.
It would be great.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
It would be really, really fantastically hilarious.
I agree.
But, like, it's not even, like, camp playing it straight. It's just, like, it's taking itself seriously.
Yeah.
So I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wish it would. Like, go camp, like either unintentional camp or like full on lean into the absurdity of a camp. I think that would be the one I would want.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what did Talia think of it?
Talia was just like, she was restless throughout this whole movie.
Yeah.
I think she sensed our stress of just like wanting to push through and get done. Like, she was just like, play games with me instead.
Yeah, she really wanted to play a lot of games last night.
So I think Talia gives this, she's going to give this a 3.
That sounds right to me. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, she was like, 1, 2, 3. That's how many of these movies there are. And this is a movie.
Yep, so makes sense.
Zoe didn't watch a minute of this.
Which is weird.
There hasn't been a movie she's hated this much since, what was the movie that she hated? She came running in right after it was done.
I can't remember.
It wasn't that long ago. Anyway.
Okay. Who'd you relate to?
The, like, friend that's kind of sick of holding her friend's hand through, like, okay. a shitty relationship that she's like hanging on to you for no, like, not that I don't support my friends in that, but like, it's also like, okay, cool, look, he's over there, do you see him being a douchebag, can we just,
yeah,
get done with this.
Uh-huh.
I relate to that.
Okay. I relate to PJ because whenever I was a kid, I was a teenager, I skateboarded, and I hurt myself badly skateboarding a couple times. In fact, I actually did that as like a 20 some year old too, like a few years ago. I really, really hurt my wrist that one time.
He still talks about it to this day.
It fucked
anytime his wrist kind of hurts, he's like, it's that time that I was skateboarding with our buddy a few years ago. And I'm like, it's probably not. And it, you're like, no, it definitely up. Is
Dude, so PJ was just playing with fire there. He was skateboarding on top of a building. He's gonna really
one day
himself.
It's your wrist, next day it's your guts.
And then the day after that, it spikes. Do you have a dream sequel for this?
Okay.
Okay.
This is not going to land with you at all.
Okay.
And I don't know how many of our listeners will land with it. So you know the show I watch, Cruel Summer?
Yeah.
It's a really terrible show, but I can't not watch it.
Uh-huh.
And they talked about this on Girls Like Us a couple episodes ago. So the whole premise of the show, like the first season, it was like 3 separate summers. So like you get snippets from each and you have to put the pieces together for what happened.
Okay.
So like you see the before, the during, and the after.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go along with it. Season 2, completely different set of characters. Completely different setting. It's fine. Except it's summer 1999, winter 1999, and summer 2000.
What? Okay.
So they completely ignore the summer part of Cruel Summer. A third of the show is dedicated to winter.
That's hilarious.
And I want the next I Know What You Did Last Summer to take place in the winter.
In the winter?
I want it to take place in the winter.
You know, honestly, I
go full absurd. You know what I mean?
I agree. I'm a big fan of taking season, like horror movies, and putting them in like interesting seasons, like Friday the 13th in the snow. Like that sounds awesome.
And the great thing with Friday the 13th is it can happen all year round.
Yeah, exactly.
They stuck with the summer camp theme, but it could have been fucking April. Mm-hmm. How many April horror movies do we get? We've got April Fools.
That's true, yeah.
And that's it.
And also Nightmare on Elm Street. No winter ones of those. I think it would be pretty sweet to have one of those. Yeah. You know, it will be cold. You know, it'd be pretty cool. I'm on board. I like it.
Plus, I love the absolute high camp of it being, I Know What You Did Last Summer. And then it's in the winter.
Yeah. Well, isn't it like a...
Because you could do a similar thing, like, you know, a bunch of teens, you know, just cavorting around, manslaughtering innocent strangers, and then they come home on winter break.
You want me to tell you how this can be done? Do it. Like, you can continue it in Colorado. Just go to the slopes.
Exactly. We could even tie it in.
4th of July and, like, snowy weather. Yeah, you can do it. All right, we got it right there. I'm on board.
Hire us for the next installment. Yeah. It can't get any worse.
Dude, our Wrong Turn 3.5 is pretty awesome, by the way. Like, I still think that that's a great premise for a Wrong Turn movie.
All right, I'm sure you got a positive review for this, and I would really like to hear from somebody who genuinely loves this movie because, like I said, I fully understand how somebody could love it, but I want to hear it in their own words.
Okay, well, I went to IMDb. And this is somebody that rated it 8 out of 10.
Okay.
See, I wanted to vet these, and I wanted one that actually had like good insight on why they.
Oh yeah, no, I always do that. I always look for something other than loved it.
Yeah, and it was actually reviewed 2 days before it released.
You vetted that really good.
This is a first. Well, maybe he had like an early showing.
Here's the thing. I could totally cut that out and nobody would ever know, but it's staying in.
That's fine. That's cool. I want to be fully transparent about the reviews here. All right. So it is titled Not the Best, But ... Still very decent. Yeah, very decent. As someone who works in the movie making industry, I know firsthand that it's become quite difficult to get filmmakers to come up with storylines that are good, hence the numerous and unnecessary remakes. This was going on in like the big remake boom, by the way.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was the aughts.
Yeah, mid-aughts. Nonetheless, I'll always know is a breath of fresh air from all the depressing remakes and rehashes of ancient movies that deserve to be left alone. Yes, there are times when the script is contrived and dull, but for the most part, the action is decent and keeps a good steady pace. The gore is immensely greater than either 1 or 2, and of course, everyone is a red herring. Although I enjoyed this movie, I know it won't be everyone's cup of tea, as I've seen from reviews I've read. So other people have seen this too already. For someone who is looking for a movie that is about Scream...
Was this movie big on the festival circuit or something?
I don't know. That would be amazing if it were. For someone who is looking for a movie that is above Scream, below Wes Craven in the 70s and 80s, and just wants to see a horror movie that gives great gore, slightly above acting, especially the ladies, and a script that's more intelligent than most, see this. For everyone else, avoid.
I want this dude's Letterboxd account. Yeah. I want to know what he's watching.
He's got the early scoops. You can find out all that shit online early.
No, it's one of those, I'm not going to judge somebody for loving this movie. And I really hope there are people out there that love it, because every movie deserves to be loved. It's not what I wanted. And that's also part of that's just because I'm not a very big action person. You know, he mentioned a lot of action in this. Maybe that's what appeals to him.
Yeah, that's true. I did like the action pieces of this.
Yeah, I just, it wasn't for me, but that doesn't mean that it's a bad movie.
You know, I think if you have never seen any of the other I Know What You Did Last Summer movies, I think if this was like your first one, you would maybe have, like, it's decent. You know, it's not bad.
Somebody comes in on this. We came in on Sleepaway Camp on part 2.
Yeah. Which, like, I mean, that's great.
Yeah, but, like, still, like, it was completely different from part one.
Yeah, that's
like,
true, yeah.
And I could see if you came in on this, like, you'd be like, oh, okay, well, I don't have prior expectations. And, you know, it's just hard to separate it from the other two for me personally. Yeah. And I think a big part of that is because those movies were super important to me growing up and...
Really good.
Yeah, and I fucking loved the soundtrack to the first one.
Mm-hmm, I know.
I listened to it on repeat.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, that was some good perspective from somebody that does actually like it. Well, that's good because we don't have any listener reviews for this one.
Yeah, our listener reviews were, I didn't know this movie existed. Yeah. And I forgot this movie existed until you posted this.
Yep. That's totally understandable because this is, well, actually, I would have thought that more people knew that there was a third I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Here's the thing, though, is there are plenty of franchises that I'm surprised at how many entries there are to them.
That's true. So, that happens to me, too.
Yeah, like, it happens. It's not that surprising.
It's not like it's an old franchise. Like, the best ones were in the 90s. Like, it's not like it's fresh. It's on people's minds all the time.
And I could honestly, did we know that it existed before we found it at,
I don't think so.
Movies to Go?
That was our first watch for us both back then, and that was in the 2010s.
Yeah, like.
Yeah.
Did we even know it existed? And we were like, is this a sequel? Like, I think we might have had that reaction.
Yeah,
so.
It was like, yeah. So, I get it. That's cool. We'll maybe get, I'm sure we'll have some Scream 6 reviews.
Oh, we definitely will. Yeah. I'm very excited to talk about it. That's what we're talking about next week is Scream 6. Mm-hmm. We are closing up our Scream coverage for now.
For now. There will be a 7. It's been confirmed.
Yeah. We just don't have like any kind of a date yet, and that's not coming anytime soon until some big execs decide to stop being greedy.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that's really delayed. Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, that... Halloween had that with COVID, and now Scream's gonna have that with the fucking strike. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, stop being greedy, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Pay the people what they're worth.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Scream 6 right now. you can watch it on
Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus for sure.
That's all I know. You can rent it other places.
Yeah, let me look up where to rent it.
It's also, it just came out on Blu-ray this week, actually, so.
So you can rent it, or you can stream it on Paramount Plus or Prime if you have a premium subscription, or you can rent it from YouTube, Google Play, Redbox, or Vudu for $6. Trust me, y'all, worth the price of admission.
If you've not seen it yet and you've seen like the other five, fuck yeah, watch it. Like...
And if you were concerned about part 5, like if it made you concerned about part 6, don't.
Yeah.
Don't be concerned. I mean, like, I get where you're coming from, but
you know what? No,
it's fun.
Go in concerned, because I went in concerned and I had a pretty nice experience with it. So, you know, it might change your mind.
And it's starring either Dylan McDermott or Dermot Mulroney, one of the two of those. I get their names mixed up a lot.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar with the dude, but I respect him for this.
Yeah.
But
I want to say it's Dermot Mulroney. He had a brief guest appearance in like a 3-episode arc of Friends.
We'll have this figured out next week.
Will we?
We will. Okay. We'll get to the bottom of this.
In the meantime, we've already mentioned Patreon, but we do want to shout out our patrons. Mm-hmm. Eric and Vivi of Shaken Not Scared. Yep. Joe.
Freakatron.
As is his full name.
Amber. We got an Amber in this movie too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Michael.
Yeah. So
thank you guys.
If you want to join them, any tier, you get a special shout out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can enjoy certain perks. You can also support us in non-financial ways by rating and reviewing it and following. Following is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a big difference for us. It tells the algorithms that we're worth listening to, which tells other people that we're worth listening to, which they start listening. And then if you're one of those people, go ahead and just follow.
Yay.
We release at least once a week, sometimes more.
Yeah.
So, and then you can also find us on social media. We're on Twitter at Least Fave Pod. We're on Instagram and Threads at Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast. Mm-hmm. You can also find us on our website at whatsyourleastfavoritescarymovie.com. Mm-hmm. And you can email us at leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com.
All right. We will see you guys next week.
All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Budget or bug ted?
I was supposed to do that with you, wasn't I?
You are, and Zoe's over there yelling with me right now. Okay, ready? She's at least doing it.